You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Live across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
At 8:06 on this Friday morning, August 8th, good morning. Nice to have you back here up north. Parker Olson producing us down in Madison, Studio A2. Brittany and Merlot will be along with the forecast in a bit. So will Dr. Kristen Lyerly. So will Mike Clemens talking about sports. Weather-wise, since it's going to be warm and humid on the text line, Jim in Brookfield. Since it will be warm and humid in southeast Wisconsin today, I will be going to the local Milwaukee County pool for a water aerobics class and some lap swimming. Embrace the warm weather. Because I did remind folks, Brittany, that for a little weather perspective, it is 139 days till Christmas. So, you know, if you don't want to be thinking about winter, then just embrace what we got here. Embrace it for the moment. Yeah. Maybe not so much the thunderstorms, but I'm good with the warmth. It's just that the thunderstorms are probably going to accompany it this time.
Yeah, unfortunately they are. But first things first, get out and soak up the sunshine, right? It's bright. It's beautiful. The wildfire smoke is gone. Yeah, it's summer. We've got heat advisories from Green Bay to Oshkosh, up towards Shawano, even into Ashland, Hayward, Siren area. You're going to feel that heat at its peak throughout the state. We are going to be hitting highs at about 90 degrees statewide today, and with the humidity in the 60s and 70s, those dew points, it's going to be really feeling like 100 degrees. So super hot. If you are headed to the lake, especially Lake Michigan, be careful out there. There are some bigger waves that are building on occasion and rip currents too. And those can happen fast. So please, please, please be careful if you are headed to the water. But the water is a perfect way to stay cool today and throughout tomorrow, because portions of southern, southeastern Wisconsin, you're really going to still feel that heat tomorrow too. While up north, we'll start to feel a little bit relief, because those showers and storms are moving in. So the first round expected far north this afternoon could be strong to severe with high winds, hail, and heavy downpours. You're going to get another round overnight tonight. Then that front starts to shift south in the state, headed towards Wausau, La Crosse, Green Bay, at least by tomorrow morning. That continues through the afternoon before it shifts even further south, then heads up Milwaukee and Madison throughout tomorrow afternoon and evening. It's going to be sitting over you and hitting you. Again, still bringing the risks of high winds, heavy downpours, which could create some flash flooding, and then also some hail too. Now the front wants to park itself over southern parts of the state for Sunday and Monday, maybe lingering into portions of Tuesday. This is going to create an aerial flooding risk, where totals could create or rise to about 3 to 5 inches in some places south. So we are looking at flooding becoming a risk as we go into early next week. And of course, still hanging on to the heat and humidity. It's not going to go away. We won't be feeling 100 degrees all weekend long, but it will be feeling like the low 90s all weekend long.
I do feel like we should be looking up at the sky as that thing tries to stall here and saying, you know, this is a no loitering zone. You can't loiter here. You got to just move it along. Just
hold up the signs.
Leave a little bit of rain and move on. Yep.
It doesn't work that way, Pat. Just like writing a letter to Canada does not make the wildfires go away.
No.
It doesn't? It
doesn't
work. No. I thought if I complained enough, it would be effective.
No,
you got to do something.
Only if you're auditioning for a talk radio host. That's it. Everything else, it does you very little good. Brittany, have a fun weekend.
You too. Thanks.
All right. Yep, you bet. Sign up for our newsletters, upnorthnewswi.com, including our Sunday morning politics newsletter, which I don't have a question of the week idea yet, Dr. Lyerly. I'm gonna come up with something. This week I asked about whether, you know, Democratic-controlled states like California should also engage in gerrymandering to offset what Texas Republicans are trying to do. Or is it, you know, is it two wrongs don't make a right? Or you got to do what you got to do to save democracy. So I've got to tally up those results today for the Sunday morning newsletter. And then I got to come up with something for the weekend here. So
wait, is that poll closed? Are you done collecting results for that one?
No. I mean, people can still respond to last Sunday morning's newsletter, or they can send us an email, or they can put something in the comment sections. You know, radio@upnorthnewswi.com is the email address. Why do you ask?
It's a hot topic.
It is a hot topic. Yeah, mm-hmm. Exactly.
People have opinions.
Yes. How are you doing?
I'm good. It's all almost right. The weekend. It's going to be hot. Uh-huh. I have to decide, do I bike to the Packer game tomorrow? Do I drive? I prefer to bike, but it's going to be raining. But how much rain? Yeah. I can tolerate rain. I just don't want to, you know, get caught in the middle of a thunderstorm on my bike.
And that's not the only thing you have planned. You have a busy weekend ahead of you here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm done with OPP this weekend, tonight.
Please explain this OPP as only you can.
Yeah, you know me. I'm going to be in Oshkosh tonight for a Stop the Billionaires giveaway rally, which is going to be a blast. And then tomorrow, of course, it's the Packers and the Jets at Lambeau. And then on Sunday, I go to Peru because I'm an invited speaker for the Peruvian OBGYN Society. So I get to talk about rural obstetrics in a different country that has a giant amount of rural territory. It's going to be cool to compare notes with my colleagues down there.
So Oshkosh, Packers in Peru.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
OPP. Got it. Okay. one of the stories that we've been looking at this week deals with the race for governor and Bill Berrien, who, again, wealthy business guy, much like Eric Hovde, Tim Michaels, but tells Dan Bice of the Journal Sentinel, no, he's different than Eric Hovde, and he's different from Tim Michaels. And Dan Bice asked how, and the answer was along the lines of, I've got leadership skills, which is exactly what every rich white business owner says, you know, when they're running for office.
When will they learn their lesson? This is not what the people want. No. The people want somebody who actually talks to them and understands their plight and will help them. And Pat, it just gets worse and worse with every election cycle. People are getting more and more discouraged. At some point, hopefully, Republicans are going to say, maybe we're on the wrong track here. Maybe we can't actually buy everything we need here.
Well, perhaps. I mean, the one thing is Berrien says he will definitely not be spending nearly as much money as Eric Hovde did and Tim Michaels did out of their own pocket.
No.
I guess that is frugal. Supposed to strike me as refreshing and a reason to support somebody.
He's
but then it was
fiscally conservative.
Right. There you go. And as Dan Bice does, you know, he's a very dogged investigative reporter and tried to get a straight answer out of Bill Berrien about, you know, making campaign donations to Nikki Haley, more than $30,000 worth. In her attempt to win the presidential primary last year. But Donald Trump, of course, came out on top. And the first three times, you know, that Dan Bice asked Bill Berrien about it, he tried to deflect and say, well, Trump won. And boy, I'm all in on Trump now. Bice would say, well, what about these things you said about, you know, Trump? You don't like his COVID leadership. You don't like his anti-science approach. But now you're saying Trump is taking back Washington for the American people. So what is it about the donations to Nikki Haley? And finally, Bill Berrien says, let's just put it this way. I mean, why don't you go ahead and say I regret those donations? So he doesn't say I regret those donations. He says, why don't you go ahead and say I regret those donations?
Why don't you go ahead and just tell the truth?
That you didn't want Trump last year and that now you're doing everything possible to get his endorsement.
Yeah, we know that puts you in an impossible situation within your own party. But I think that that's a reflection of what's happening in the party. Like, come on, guys, it is time to step up and be authentic. That's what people want. Republicans, Democrats, independents, doesn't matter. People want authentic leaders.
Yeah. Without a doubt. Mm-hmm. A couple stories you shared with me include one about Idaho has now lost one in three obstetricians since its abortion ban went into place. We talk about the problem with rural health care. We talk about the problem with women's health care. And in places like Idaho, you've got a perfect storm there for women's health care.
In 2 years, they lost a third of their OBGYN doctors in 2 years. I'm betting they didn't lose a third of their OBGYN patients in 2 years.
No.
And they were already struggling to meet the needs of the population. I can't even imagine what it's like right now in Idaho. My one colleague who is just trying to lead the charge and do everything is exhausted. you can only keep up with this for so long. So I don't know what the future holds for women in Idaho, but I think it's bleak.
It is. I mean, there's no other way to put it. And until there's some kind of electoral change, and I don't think there's going to be an electoral change in Idaho anytime soon, we're going to find ourselves in a bad way. We also had the exclusive today, and you can find it on Instagram and on our website, of a Pete Buttigieg video series that he does on all the social media platforms. He's got an audience of millions, and he spoke to Dr. Jill McMullen, a family practice doc in Tomah, and she has some very strong words to say about the cuts to Medicaid and what that's going to do to rural health care. Now, we're no strangers to that topic here, but again, she was a person where I said, you know, a lot of doctors still don't like to speak up, but more than ever before. And she told me, she's like, this is the world we live in. We have to speak up now about these things.
Hey, I chair the board of an organization called the Committee to Protect Healthcare. And it is a group of doctors of all different specialties all across the country who are feeling this way, who know that we can't just have these conversations in the exam rooms anymore. We have to have these conversations on social media, in the press, in large groups in our communities. And it makes us really uncomfortable because we are not trained to do that. I mean, I'm not uncomfortable doing that, but most doctors are. So to see doctors like Dr. McMullen stepping up and using their voices in these places where we, the people, need to hear them, just tells you how desperate the situation is. I'm so proud of my colleagues, and I'm so proud of the work that we do at the committee. Stay tuned. There is so much more to come because we need it.
Oh, we surely do. And so to hear more from Dr. McMullen and see an excerpt, you can head to our Instagram site. Just search for Up North News WI, or the website article that I put up early this morning all about it. The title is Rural Healthcare Faces a Death Spiral from GOP Medicaid Cuts. And you can read more at upnorthnewswi.com. While you're there, share your email address and sign up for our daily newsletter, our Sunday newsletter, Sunday Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, where, again, Kristen's going to come up with a slam bang question of the week for me at some point here.
So much pressure. Hey, Dr. McMullen practices at one of those hospitals that is in danger of closing. Right.
There are three hospitals that have been identified on a list nationwide mm-hmm. as most likely to close because, like she says in the interview, you know, there are hospitals that are running, you know, negative revenue right now. They're already spending more money than they take in and are reliant upon those Medicaid dollars to keep providing care. Mm-hmm. And so they were already in trouble to begin with. Now you start slashing what Medicaid's bringing in. And like she said, it's not just, yeah, they'll start with, we don't deliver babies here anymore, but then more services and more services, and then they close. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that hurts everybody. So people that are going, oh, this is just for those people on Medicaid. Not even close.
Not even close. And I can tell you, Holy Family in Manitowoc is another one of those. Yep. They've already shut down their OB services. And the Aspirus Hospital in Stanley is another one. There are three in Wisconsin. The hospital where I work in Hibbing, Minnesota is another one that's on the chopping block. And the community loves that hospital. They need that hospital. They will fight for that hospital. But it's in danger. So this is a time, if you live in one of those communities, if you believe in rural health, you can't do this on your own. This is a time to come together and use your voices and talk to your representatives, talk to the people who are the decision makers, because if you want to save your health care, and in rural areas, we need that, you need to use your voice.
A local update is next for some of you, and then when we're back all together in 15 minutes, we'll be talking to Mike Clemens, talking about sports. Our Free Ticket Friday keyword is ground, G-R-O-U-N-D. You have until 9 o'clock to text that in. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
On air coming up right after this program from 9 to 11 across the Civic Media Radio Network. Mike Clemens talking sports with us coming up at 8:35. Kristen Lyerly here with us right now before she takes off for all of next week. And so Doctor, yes, you sir? Get a lot of people who say these immortal words to you that I know you love hearing. Well, I read on the internet.
Unavoidable. And they never say it proudly. They always say it sheepishly. Like,
No, I shouldn't be. Which is, where did we get this article from you that more than half of adults use social media for health information? What is AJMC? That's the journal I'm looking at here.
I'm not sure which journal, but it was the Kaiser Family Foundation that published it. It's a great source, and it's legitimate, and it just verifies what you already know. Because we've all done it, right?
The American Journal of Managed Care. There we go. Mm-hmm. Which includes peer-reviewed journals like, you know, the American Journal of Evidence-Based Oncology. There's that whole evidence-based thing again. You know,
yeah.
Versus social media.
This is why we turn to social media, because nobody wants to, you know, put up with all of those words that are boring.
45% surveyed reported they have never used social media to get health or information or advice.
I
don't know if I believe that. 11% reported everyday use. Another 11% said at least once a week. 4% once a month. 30% said they occasionally look up health information. And look, I'm guilty of it, being married to an OBGYN myself.
You can just ask your wife.
I've had to sheepishly say, honey, about this little issue here, you know, and it might be, you know,
Don't give away your personal information.
No, I'm trying to, is this infected? I don't know. Can you look at that? Yeah. But no, the sleep apnea, of course, would be the best example of, you know, well, when she says, well, you might have this and blah, blah, blah. So you start reading about it. And again, she's not a sleep expert. She's just smarter than me. And so I'll say, well, I read this and I read that. And I mean, the fact of the matter is now, by her addressing those concerns, and then, of course, my own doctor addressing those concerns, I've been sleeping like a baby, you know, for the past month here.
Happy for you.
It's been so great. My Apple Watch and, you know, the whole breathing, you know, tells your iPhone your breathing elevations. And so I'm at 30 days here, and I'm trying to hold this up for Kristen to see the little graph. Is like way down at the bottom now. It used to be way up at the top. There's the 6 month view of it. Can you tell where I got the CPAP machine?
Uh-huh.
I can.
Holy crap!
Wow.
The craft just drops into nothing. So, but again, I think the internet has that role of getting you familiar with something. Just don't take it as gospel.
Yeah, that's one of the things that I'm really trying to do. I've really ramped up my internet presence recently with a lot of like shorts, like on TikTok and Instagram, just sharing some basic health information to just pique your interest so that you can try to figure out how that works for you in your lives, especially when it comes to things like vaccines, because we hear so much misinformation and so much politically motivated information. And the truth is, vaccines aren't for everybody, but they are for many people. And you have to make that decision for yourself and for your family and for your children.
Oh my God, I totally forgot about that. I wanted to ask you about it, and I didn't want to ask you about it. About Robert Kennedy Jr. halting funding for mRNA shots.
This is terrible news.
And what it's going to do? How is it terrible?
Well, mRNA is a vehicle that you can put almost any virus into. So we can make vaccines for so many different things. That's how we got the COVID vaccine so quickly. Typically, it takes years to develop a vaccine, to develop it and test it and get it out there. But with the COVID vaccine, we had the mRNA vehicle ready to go, and we were able to implement it, and it saved millions of lives. They then took that vehicle and started imagining what it could do, and turned their attention to not just things like viruses, but cancer. We're on the brink of more cancer-preventing vaccines. Of course, the HPV vaccine prevents cancer, the hepatitis B vaccine prevents cancer, but they were looking at other things like maybe a vaccine against melanoma and other things, and they were on the brink of some really great discoveries. And now all of that funding is going to go away because RFK Jr. hates vaccines. He lied about it during his Senate confirmation. Now he's back hating vaccines again, pulling funding, spreading this misinformation. And what's going to happen? People are going to die unnecessarily of things like cancer.
on the Dr. Kristen Lierley show coming up this weekend.
We're talking about the wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald.
We're going from the train wreck of RFK to a shipwreck, the Edmund Fitzgerald, with my old legislative colleague, Tom Nelson.
How much do you love Tom Nelson?
Here's how much. I heard he was going to be a guest on your show this weekend. He's going to be a guest on my show this coming Monday at 7:30. I just got the confirmation of that. So 7:30 Monday morning. So tell people what they're going to hear about on your show.
Tom Nelson, my Kakana homeboy, Outagamie County Supervisor, just wrote this book about the wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald. It all started with the song, like it does for so many of us. Mm-hmm. And then he got interested in the story, which is very obviously dramatic and terrible. But then he started looking at, why did this actually happen? The ship was overloaded. It wasn't seaworthy. How did we send these sailors out with this load in this dangerous weather? It is really about the failure of our industrial complex and how we don't support workers the way that we need to. This was 50 years ago, but it's still happening now. So it's a very complex story that interweaves all of these interviews with family members, people who had not been interviewed in the past, and really gets very personal, but I think it strikes a special place for many of us who are very interested in this, even 50 years later.
It is truly a metaphor for American industrialization and corporatization and the treatment of the workforce. Like you said, even 50 years later. So catch that on the Dr. Kristen Lierley show this weekend. And then Tom Nelson will continue the conversation with us Monday morning here at 7:30. Kristen, have a fun weekend and a great trip if I don't talk to you.
Thanks, man. I'll keep you posted.
All right. Mike Clemens is going to be talking sports with us. Our keyword for Free Ticket Friday is ground, G-R-O-U-N-D. For tickets for next Wednesday afternoon's Brewers-Pirates game, I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. Do you like to get outside? Do you like to do a little biking like Dr. Lierley does? You're going to do some biking this weekend, hopefully.
As much as I can.
Whatever the rain doesn't let you do. Or instead of biking, are you into hiking? Well, in today's Up North News Daily Newsletter, there is a link to an article on our website, A Perfect Wisconsin Trail for Every Hiker. There's some 3,000 miles of trails weaving through just our state parks. And so whether it's a 1 mile hike, a 3 mile hike, a 10 mile hike, there are trails just right for you. And you can find a link to that in our daily newsletter. Sign up for it at upnorthnewswi.com. Are you a trail person or do you go down like streets, highways, whatever the case may be?
On my bike?
Yeah.
I'll ride anywhere. I've got one of those fat tire bikes.
Oh, that's right.
So, okay. I mean, curbs, mm-hmm. rocks. I've been on ATV trails. That's a challenge.
Yes. Yeah. I have to tell you, I heard from, I looked at a Facebook post and State Senator Romaine Quinn from the Rice Lake area, Republican. Again, it's always once it personally involves them. It's a picture of a trail. I don't know if it was the Tuscobia Trail or another trail. And it's looking a little rocky. It's looking a little rough. And the post says something like, this is unacceptable. I'm going to talk to the DNR and see if we can shake some money loose. It's always, you know, you can only shake money loose when it benefits their own personal use. But God forbid.
Yeah. What about the other people?
Yeah. Nope. Just what you see. So invite your local legislator to come see what it is that you need.
That's one way to get it done.
Yeah. This is Free Ticket Friday. You can win 4 tickets to see the Brewers taking on the Pittsburgh Pirates next Wednesday afternoon. Go to the Civic Media app. Text us the word ground, like a ground ball, G-R-O-U-N-D, and be in the running. Keywords throughout the various shows across the Civic Media radio network today. Time for some Friday sports, and let's talk to Mike Clemens, who's at Packer training camp. The first Packer preseason game is tomorrow, but we got to start by talking about the red-hot Milwaukee Brewers taking on the Mets. Coverage begins at 6:35 this evening across the Civic Media Radio Network. So let's talk Brewers-Mets. Mike Clemens, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. Or raise a river for your birthday party, like you do. You know.
Yeah, that's like J.D. Vance got. Yeah, whatever you need,
I'm
you
very
know?
Good, Pat. Yeah. I'm very good, Pat. I'm very good, Kristen. How are you guys?
Hey, we're great. Kristen's very excited, of course, because you got that first Packer game, you know, coming up tomorrow, the first preseason game. We'll get into that. But here we have the Brewers in early August with the best win-loss record in Major League Baseball, with a whole bunch of guys that almost nobody's ever heard of. Mike, what's the secret sauce in all this?
Yeah, first team to get to 70 wins this season, four-game lead over the Cubs right now. Talked about last week, their winning percentage, .593, actually historically the lowest in Major League Baseball history heading into the first day of August, but that's because maybe there's a lot of parity going on in the major leagues right now with some of the other power teams. But whatever, you know, night after night, you got Freddy Peralta as your ace. He's coming through as a pitcher. Brandon Woodruff is back. He's going to be the guy on the mound tonight for the Brewers. He's 3-0. He got an ERA of 2.22, so he's looking good. And then, you know, the other guys, how about like Quinn Priester? I think 23, 24 years old. Big kid, like 6'4" when you talk to him. And every time he gets on the mound, I think that they're up to like 12 wins in a row whenever he pitches. So, and, you know, when they swept the Braves the other night, first they sweep the Nationals in Washington, D.C., but to beat the Braves, one of the beat guys told me that, you know, off mic, Murph said, I don't know how we're doing this, and I don't want to know. I don't want to know.
Just like you don't want to know about the pancake in his pocket.
I was going to say, it's the pocket pancakes. Yeah. That's the thing that's doing
it.
Yeah,
that little carb boost. Now, do they actually sell pancakes like that at your local freezer at the grocer or something like that? Pocket pancakes or something?
I think you can get, like, you know, mini pancakes. You can get everything else in the frozen food section. It wouldn't surprise me one bit.
Well, knowing Murphy, probably grabs a baggie, and when they're serving breakfast in the clubhouse, he grabs a couple of pancakes and puts it in there, right?
I could see that. Yeah, I mean, you've seen a couple of good clubhouse spreads in your day.
Yeah, you know, they're okay. They're pretty good.
They're pretty good. And, I'll tell you my favorite story about clubhouse spreads was being in a Packer locker room at Lambeau after a game in the Brett Favre era. And, I mean, I'm so hungry. You know, you've been working a game for hours and hours, and you're starving. And you see the food in the locker room, and there's Brett Favre with a pizza sitting on the bench there in front of his locker, and, you know, a whole 12 or 14-inch pizza. And we go to some other guy two lockers down, ask two questions maybe. I turn around, and that pizza is completely gone. I mean, that's what it's got to be like after these games, is just, you know, unhinge your jaw and take in a pizza.
You know Larry, the comedian Larry, the cable guy?
Yeah.
Remember him?
Yep.
Okay. He married a girl from, I think, Appleton or Fond du Lac. Mm-hmm. She's a big Packers fan. She gets them tickets to get in. And then, you know, Favre finds out that Larry's, you know, around. So he gets them into the locker room. And so Larry makes salsas. You know, he loves making with, you know, different fruits in there and things like that. And so he said, hey, come on back to the next game. So Larry brings in his salsa, and it's him and Favre and the wives, and they're eating chips and salsa like 3 hours after the game because Favre loved them so much.
Yeah. Oh, that's funny.
One of my favorite, you know, post-game funny eatery stories.
Oh, yeah. Here's a question on Facebook from Roger in Stevens Point. When the Brewers begin their most strenuous part of the schedule, 19 games over 18 days, would the team keep six starters during this stretch?
I don't know. I know that what we're seeing is 5 and 6 innings is greatly appreciated, and then they bring in a different pitcher for the 7th, 8th, and 9th innings, and I think that's the way that Murph likes to do it. Maybe they go longer innings when you get into the postseason, but for right now, they've got a formula that works, and they're not wearing out, you know, their pitchers. And Mizorowski, will they let him go to 7 innings? Because they've been bringing him along gradually. That might be the key right there, right? As to how the Miz performs when they get to that part, when he gets back.
Yeah. What Roger's referring to is the Brewers play the Mets this weekend, and then Pittsburgh Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday next week, a day off, and then they start this big stretch of games, first in Cincinnati, then in Wrigley against the Cubs. It was originally scheduled to be a 4-game series, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, week after next, but because of a makeup game for a rainout, it's now 5 games at Wrigley Field, week after next with the Cubs. I mean, that's the division right there, and I had dreaded it for the longest time. I'm looking forward to that series now.
Yeah, but, you know, they could have played a doubleheader, and the Cubs said, oh, it's misty. Let's not.
Yes. Yes. Oh, that was so, that was garbage is what it was.
Yeah. But, oh, so well. Cubs knew what they were doing. They knew what they were doing. So okay. Anyway, tonight you're playing a Mets team that's a couple games behind the Phillies in the East, but they've only won two of their last 10 games. So, you know, maybe the Brewers, if they could at least win this series this weekend against a tough Mets team. Don't forget, this is the Mets that ended the Brewers season last year in the postseason. So that's what you're looking at tonight with Brandon Woodruff on the mound for Milwaukee.
Oh, it's going to be good to see him pitching again. All right, Packers are hosting the Jets, the first of three preseason games tomorrow at 7, tomorrow 7 p.m. How is the Packer offense looking in training camp this week?
Finally, for me, got a little bit more in sync. They took the next step because you've been out there and now for 2 weeks, 2.5 weeks, and Matthew Golden, number 22, your first round draft pick out of Texas, he's outstanding. Bad, he's just outstanding. And
that's
each
great.
Day he does something else. Where first he's catching slant passes, turns up field, speed, rockets past three starting defensive backs. They can't catch him. Next, they start throwing some deep bombs to him. Great hands, great stride. He gets two or three steps ahead on anybody trying to cover him. 60-yard bomb. Now the most important ones is like the crossing routes over the middle, 15 or 20 yards downfield. Crisp routes, the hands go up. Once the ball gets in his hands, he turns upfield. And then you see Christian Watson warming up there, coming back from the torn ACL. And you think, oh my gosh. I mean, if you can have 22 on one side, Matthew Golden, and then Christian Watson on the other side. And Romeo Doubs is having a tremendous camp, the veteran. He's going into his fourth year, into a contract year. He's having a great camp. Yesterday, he made a very nice little touchdown catch on a fade route, kind of an angle route to the corner, and he beat a backup safety, looked up, caught the ball on his outside shoulder, touchdown. And then he looks and he points to the fans at the practice field, and he does a Lambo leap at the Ray Nitschke practice field.
Nice.
I saw him in the locker room. I said, hey, you're in midseason form, man. He just laughed. The fans that came to practice saw that. So when they finally are getting that stuff going, and then Savion Williams, the taller wide receiver that they drafted in this past year's draft this spring, he's making catches now and running good routes. And so when you see that, you start saying to yourself, man, there's somebody who was on this roster last year at wide receiver that's going to be out of a job come Labor Day.
Well, and injuries happen. And of course, as soon as you said Christian Watson, of course, my big fear is that he's become the Garrett Mitchell, of the Packers, somebody who was, had all the potential in the world and just kept getting hurt. So it's nice to have a deep roster because you never know if things might happen. If you can't get to Lambeau Field tomorrow, maybe you can get to UW-Platteville and see the Badger football team. They're kind of wrapping up their little stint down there, right?
Yeah, folks in that part of the state, the Badgers, for the second year in a row, Luke Fickell took them down to Platteville for the start of their training camp, a little bonding experience. Those have been closed, but tomorrow night's their last practice at UW-Platteville. It's open to the public. It's $5 a ticket. Kids need a ticket, too, but they can get in for free if they're 12 and under, and that gets going at 7 o'clock at what they call the Pioneer Stadium at UW-Platteville, and the proceeds all go to the Platteville Athletics department over there.
That's so nice that they do that, because again, much like Packers preseason, these things aren't necessarily supposed to be all secretive. There's got to be a reason to let the fan base in on a little bit of the action. So colleges are learning from the pros to have a little training camp action, basically.
Yeah, it's almost like a family night kind of situation, which is such a great thing for Packers fans, too, especially to take kids to. And get, as opposed to, I've told the story before, a buddy of mine said, 7-year-old Jack, who ended up being a great high school football player, was like, yeah, he wants to see a football game. So I just got two tickets to the Seahawks game. I go, how much did you spend on that? I take him to family night.
Yeah.
It's just 7. There's, there's $210 a ticket. And this is, almost 10 years ago now. So I could hardly wait to see him in the hallway of the radio station after that weekend. I said, so how'd it go? He goes, he wanted to go home in the third quarter.
Uh-huh. Yeah. No, that's why you want to do these. And Kristen, you'll be there tomorrow one way or another at Lambeau?
I will definitely be around Lambeau, but my plan is to bike tailgate, go home, watch the second half from my chair.
Okay.
There you go.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, there you go.
That works very well. That's just fine. Mike Lemon's doing double duty. He'll be keeping an eye on the Brewers, even as he's monitoring Packer training camp. And I'm sure he's going to figure out, you know, the highs and lows from Badger football and talk to us about that as these Fridays roll on and roll on. Mike, thank you so much for the visit. Appreciate it as always. Have a great start to the weekend.
Yeah, I'm thinking of doing an up-down. I think I'm going to go to Milwaukee tonight and cover the Brewers game, then come back up to Green Bay tomorrow for the Jets game. But, I'm going to ask Murph if there's anything else he keeps in his pockets, like waffles,
dogs, sir?
The wallet waffle. Whatever. Yes. Whatever gets it done, whatever gets a win, we'll take it. Thank you, Mike. Talk to you later.
Thanks, Pat. Thanks, Chris.
You bet. Oh, absolutely. Some folks are going to have a local break, and for others, some final news and notes here from Lake Wissota. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. One more time, here's that reminder, the keyword for our free ticket Friday, Brewers Ground, G-R-O-U-N-D. Statewide drawing for tickets to the Brewers-Pirates game next Wednesday afternoon.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Ticket Friday will continue on Matt and Air on Air with Jane and Greg and Tom Hartman and Todd Alba and the Maggie Dawn Show. Listen for a keyword each time throughout the course of the day. Use the Civic Media app, text it in. Be part of a statewide drawing for tickets to see the Brewers versus the Pirates next Wednesday afternoon. Be sure you can have tickets delivered to your phone and that you can use tickets on your phone to get to American Family Field. If that's the case, go to the Civic Media app, text us the word ground, G-R-O-U-N-D. Dr. Kristen Lyerly is here at 8:53 as we wrap things up for the weekend. And first, I want to get your reaction on air to something that Tony had told us on YouTube. Did you see this big thing about GPT-5 coming out? AI that's going to be allegedly a better source of medical information because so many people have been using ChatGPT for their healthcare questions or healthcare information. So now you're not just facing Dr. Google, you're facing Dr. AI. How fun does that feel?
I don't think it's really all that different from Dr. Google, to be honest. I mean, people are just putting information in and getting information back and then either using or not using that information. And I think it can be a useful tool, but the problem is it's not a substitute for actual healthcare. And the real problem is people don't have access to healthcare. And they often, as you pointed out, Pat, don't have access to broadband either. So to sit outside your library and use AI to try to figure out what's going on with your body because you can't go actually see a doctor to get true healthcare, this is a failure.
Oh, without a doubt. And so you've got, on top of all of that, on top of the potential for incorrect information through, doing research on the internet, you've also got gaslighting that's coming from politicians. You still have Derek Van Orden claiming that somehow, you know, Trump's big bloated boondoggle is good for Medicaid. And they're all insisting that there won't be any cuts when it's not true.
I think that they've taken it to a point now with so many different things, whether it's political violence or healthcare or any other thing. They're saying things that are just so patently false, and people are starting to recognize that they're being lied to. And up until this point, it's been more subtle, but it's just they have to keep making the lies bigger and bigger and bigger. So it's undermining trust in them, and it's making people feel uncomfortable. And that's an opportunity for people like us who actually care to say, hey, come on, come back to the fold. Let's work together to do some good stuff.
That takes us to the President of the United States, who this week sent letters to Big Pharma outlining steps to bring down the price of prescription drugs in the United States. So he's promising lower drug prices, but he's also jacking up the tariffs on prescription drugs.
Did you see his math? He also claimed that he had cost He had cut costs for prescription drugs by 80, 90, 1500%.
No.
Yes, that math doesn't math, friends. I mean, if you cut the cost of something by 50%, you go from $100 to $50. And if you cut it from $100, or if you cut it by 100%, it's free, right?
Yeah.
But if you cut it by 1500%, the companies are actually paying you to take the drugs. That doesn't make any sense, but he has to get bigger and more grandiose as he talks to continue to get and hold people's attention. So he has entered some sort of Twilight Zone.
So I guess the Twilight Zone is he's thinking that if he can raise the prices of medicines coming in, it will somehow cut drug costs if the drugs are made in the United States. But like so much when it comes to manufacturing, that's so much easier said than done.
Well, look at what's happened to simple drugs that are made in the United States. I mean, it wasn't even a year ago that we had a shortage of normal saline. Normal saline is IV fluids. We use it all the time. And this isn't the first time that it's happened, but it was because of the hurricane in North Carolina that they were unable to supply normal saline to hospitals across the country. And then it became a precious resource. What do we do without IV fluids? That is the bread and butter of hospitals. That's what most people need. So it's not going to cut costs, and it's definitely going to disrupt the supply chain.
Well, and like I said about other manufacturing, here's Trump talking about bringing iPhone manufacturing back to the U.S. Well, even if it happens, sure, would you like a $3,000 iPhone? This is just posturing for like tax breaks, which is why the head of Apple, Tim Cook, this week presented to Donald Trump the gift of iPhone glass on a 24-karat gold base. He literally brought the president of the United States a bar of gold and is going to get favorable tax treatment. We are living in times that historians are going to look back and go, how did people not recognize how grossly corrupt this was?
Well, clearly they do, and that's why he did that.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is how you gain favor with the king.
I guess. A gold bar.
Yeah. Well, did you see what happened to the White House? I mean, you've seen the $200 million ballroom plans.
Oh, yes.
And
yeah,
you saw the paving over of the Rose Garden, but they are enhancing the White House with all of these like gold stickers. Like, weird.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, there is so much gold, and it's just amazingly gaudy. And I, and they've paved over the Rose Garden as well, and just trying to turn it into Mar-a-Lago North, which, like so many other things in this country, is going to take a very long time to undo. Well, hey, we're going to miss you next week, but have a great time in Peru at this conference.
Thanks. And I'll send updates.
Are you going to see Machu Picchu while you're there as well?
That's the plan. 2 days of conference, 2 days of touring.
That's
pretty great.
That's amazing. But all part of the OPP tour. Oshkosh first.
Oshkosh, Packers, Peru.
All right. Sounds great.
And don't forget about Tom Nelson this weekend.
Tom Nelson this weekend
on the Dr. Kristen Lyerly show.
And then again with us at 7:30, Parker, if we can make room for that in the schedule. I mean, we're putting Parker in charge of the calendar.
Can we do that?
Huh? Okay. All right. Parker's going to go back to his nap here, so we're going to wrap things up. Thanks to all of you for being here. Have a wonderful weekend. I'm Pat Kreitlow, founding editor of Up North News. Up North News is the Wisconsin outlet for Courier, a pro-democracy news network building a more informed, engaged, and representative America. Have a great weekend. We'll see you back here up north Monday morning, 6 a.m.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.